To We Used to Be Cool, a podcast for moms. We hope you'll join us each week as we pause the craziness to remember that we're not alone and that being a mom is actually really cool.
Hey everybody, welcome back to We Used to Be Cool. Obviously we've been gone for a couple weeks and we're excited to be back tonight. So we were in Puerto Rico for just a few days visiting Blake, who was our second ever podcast guest, first ever podcast guest, second ever episode, and has been our best friend since forever. And her family just moved to Puerto Rico a few weeks ago. Really, we were their first guest. We were like, here we are, because we wanted to go before it got too close to Hannah's due date. And so we got to go and see her and her kids and her husband and just lay on the beach and
swim
and chill and spend time with them. And it was so nice because obviously we didn't take our kids with us because Ethan and Judd graciously wanted us to go and sent us on the trip, basically, so that we could do that. And they stayed home and took care of the kids and did a great job. So it was a total blessing. And while we were there, Juan really stepped up and helped Blake and took care of the boys so that she could be with us and also relax. So it was so fun. And even just to say, like, Hannah had never really been away from her kids. Yeah, y'all talk about that.
I was about to say that anyone out there listening who's like, well, that must be nice. Just FYI, this is not the norm for us. And I haven't been a mom for 3.5 years and I've never left my children in 3.5 years. So I was nervous at first and then it was so fun and it was really nice, but it's definitely not the norm. And if you can't do that right now, don't feel bad.
It's just a season.
For sure.
But also, if you're not doing it because you're afraid or worried about your kids or worried about how you're going to feel, how did you feel once you left and got there?
I've never left them because I was afraid, though. I've never left them because I'm afraid of inconveniencing other people.
Okay, so because of guilt, really.
Yeah, like inconveniencing mom and dad. They already help my parents keep my kids during the week while I'm working. So I'm not going to be like, all right, and then, okay, you've had them all week. Now we're going to go on a trip for the weekend. So you got them. And also just because our parents still have kids at home. It's not like, I always tell my clients that. It's not like our mom is sitting around like knitting like in a rocking chair or something.
Although she does
crochet. But it's not like that's all she's doing. You know, she's got a lot going on and she's still parenting 24/7 herself. So
anyways, this was a good opportunity because you got to leave them with Judd.
I left them with Judd, so I wasn't feeling guilt of any kind or anything, and they were having a blast. And every time I faced them, they were having so much fun. Unlike Sunny. Sunny, when Zan FaceTimed her, she burst into tears, sobbing, crying. And I told Blake, I'm like, now, Blake, let me be clear. If that was Hank, I would be crawling across this floor, screaming, crying, telling Juan to get me on the first flight home.
And it was honestly, it was sad.
It was
but
so sad.
I know she was over it as soon as we hung up. But it's just that age where they can't understand, like, why aren't you here? If you're here, but you're not here, it's confusing, I think, at that age. Moses used to do the same thing. We couldn't FaceTime when we went anywhere with Moses at that age because he would panic. But yeah, it was sad and sweet. But right before we left, our whole family came down with the stomach bug. Ethan and I got it. Then we passed it.
Took down, like, I was counting like 11 or 13 people.
Oh my gosh.
Because of your family, my family,
we did it.
Dad.
We passed it to you, then the boys, then Dad and Judd.
Right, I'm saying, like, for your whole family, my whole family, your in-laws, and our dad.
It was insane.
Yeah.
It was a quick sickness, for sure, but it still was just terrible. And it was all right before we left. So the day before we were supposed to leave, we were supposed to leave at 5 a.m. on Friday. Thursday, Murphy and Fletcher started throwing up, and our flight got canceled all within, like, 2 hours. All of that just started happening. And so we were, I don't even know, considering backing out probably in our back of our minds. Like, how are we going to do this? So we ended up driving to Charlotte at 2 a.m. I left my phone. We had to turn around. I was thinking about this too. We kept having to use the bathroom and nothing was open because it was 4 a.m. on, 74, whatever that road is. And then we got to the airport, found a parking spot far away, had to ride a shuttle, get to the airport. And I was thinking, we sat down at our gate. And you were like, I'm going to go to the bathroom. And literally, they were like, we're now boarding. We're like, ah, like we literally made it just in time, really. It was pretty crazy. And it all was just, it all worked out. But it was like, it by the time when we left Wilmington till we got to Blake's front door, it was 13 and a half hours of travel time, which should have been, what, 6 hours or something?
Pretty easy to get to Puerto Rico.
But yeah, it took us 13 and a half hours. But once we got there, it was great. And honestly, what we kept saying too, it's like 13 and a half hours of travel, if we would have had our kids, would have been a true nightmare. Mm-hmm. But doing it when it's just two adults and we just talked the whole time and could laugh about stuff, and it wasn't as so inconvenient like it is once you have kids.
Yeah.
Where everything's more stressful and more difficult.
Yeah. For sure.
So, also, just while we're on the topic and then we can move on, I just want to shout out Blake, because she and Juan, they are just such good parents, and their kids are basically Murphy's age. Murphy's right in between them. They're Irish twins, basically. They're very close in age, so they're going on 5 and 6, but they're so independent. While they're also dependent on Blake, I think they like to be near Blake and Juan. They like to play with them and do things with them. But as far as like, Blake would just be like, okay, go brush teeth, go get your pajamas on. In the morning, she's like, go get dressed. She never laid out clothes. She never picked out what they were going to put on. She never, as far as I know, like told them what to wear, what not to wear. And just like, she'd be like, go make your bed. I'm like, they make their bed? Like just stuff that like, and they would just do it. And so she just has, they have high expectations for them, I think. And they meet them. And they've, it's pretty incredible. Yeah. Even the way they went to sleep, just like, go to bed. Like, they told them goodnight and read a story and all that. But then, like my kids, I'd have to lay with them and sneak out of the room once they're asleep and just all those things.
Yeah.
And they're just, like, very independent. And, like, so I would say also as an encouragement to any moms who are, like, having two really close together or feeling like you're kind of in the weeds of two really young kids, that is, I think, a benefit is, like, now they're the same age, basically.
Yeah,
and
they can do all those things
that then they don't have to, she's not having to baby one of them at all. Like, they can both do the same things, which is pretty incredible.
Same with any activities they want to do, like in Puerto Rico, it's like they're on the same level. Like, we couldn't go on a hike with, like, Hank and Fletcher can't hang. They're two years apart, so Hank can't hang with Fletcher. But
right. And then even right now, some things that are fun for Sunny aren't fun for Murphy. I was thinking, like, even as the younger one can do things that, like library story hour. Murphy doesn't want to go to that. You know, it's like, so there are challenges. Either way, there's challenges. But I think that's an encouragement to anyone who's in those weeds of two under two or whatever, that you're
for sure,
that there's a light at the end of the tunnel for sure.
Blake's an incredible mom. Juan's an incredible dad.
They are, and they were such great hosts. We had a great time with them. But anyways, okay, enough about our amazing tropical vacation
and the stomach bug. I know everyone wanted to hear about the stomach bug.
Oh my god,
she's more familiar.
All right, so we're just going to kind of bounce back and forth, just talk about kind of what we've been learning about parenting over the last couple of weeks, and books we've read, podcasts we've listened to, articles we've read lately, and just kind of share those with y'all. And then that's it. It's going to be kind of quick this week, and next week we'll be back with a guest because it has been a couple of weeks without one. So we'll be back next week with a guest. And really, we only have, after this, 3 more episodes of season 2. And then we'll wrap up and take a break so that Hannah can nest and prepare for her baby. And then we'll be back after the summer. But anyways, okay. Hannah, why don't you start with that positive parenting stuff you've been talking about?
Okay. Well, I heard a podcast recently, maybe like 10 days ago at this point, on positive parenting and just the and I loved it. And I loved, even if I didn't necessarily, like, some of it seemed like it was a little far-fetched, but at the same time, I loved everything she had to say, and I was just, it's really stayed on my mind, and I've tried some of her tips and tricks, and they have seemed to really work, like, immediately. So really what she was talking about is changing the atmospheres of our homes with positive parenting, and just making it more of a positive place for our children to grow up and for us as the leaders and the parents. So, like, obviously when we're getting frustrated and when we're feeling very negative, it affects everything. It affects the way our children feel, but it also affects like our brain. So for example, I listened to the podcast and then, so she was talking about like just trying to make your, this sounds extreme, but like trying to turn your no's into yeses as much as possible. And I was like, this is kind of, well, sometimes kids need to hear no's, sweetie. Just kidding. But then she's like, for example, she was like, you could say, or like your kid's like, I want to have, mom, can we eat cookies? And instead of just being like, or can we make cookies instead of just being like, no, we can't. You could say something that sounds more like, oh, I know you love cookies and I love cookies too. How about on Friday night we bake them together? And then that's still a no, but it's a positive way of turning them down, I guess, or something. I don't know.
Something to look forward to. And like, because honestly, that works. Like for Murphy, like if there's, we can't do that today, but how about tomorrow? Like that works for him. Mm-hmm. Like he's good with that. Mm-hmm. Like there's no fit if they can see. You're not just saying maybe next time or maybe another time, but like even putting that like exact time we're going to do it.
Yeah.
Works really well, I think.
But I also want to be clear that we're not trying to say like, so we should always try to say yes to them. And even if they're asking yes. to go to the park, then I'm going to say yes, just Disney because World. I don't want him to throw a fit. But instead, like, for example, I think Emily Jennings talked about this on our podcast, but like, when they're climbing on the counter, like, no, we're not allowed to climb on the counter. But instead of just saying, like, you need to get down right now, you could say, Fletcher, you are such a good climber, but in this house, we are not allowed to climb on the counter. So
let's go get the nugget.
You need to get down, yeah. And we can go do something else. Mm-hmm. So you're still saying no. It's just you're changing the way that you're saying it. And so that positive reinforcement is just really important for kids and also for the way that they respond. And so for example, when I was thinking about it when I was leaving my parents' house right after I listened to this, and Fletcher was like climbing in the trunk and stuff of the car and in the very back seat, and I'm like, normally I'd be like, Fletcher, get in your seat now. We are leaving. I was like, Fletch, I know you love climbing in the back and it's so much fun. Right now we're heading home, so go ahead and climb in your seat and let's get going. And he just was like, ding, okay. And jumped down and went. And I was like, okay, well, that was
so easy.
Magical. And so I was just like, wow, that really did kind of work. And I wasn't frustrated. I wasn't like, Fletcher, no. Like I just said, like, get in your seat now. We have to go, you know. And so then I was calm. He was calm. He did it. I'm not saying this is 100% proof that it works every time. But it's just like, so I've been trying to do that more and controlling. Also, she talked about controlling our behavior too.
Well, that's what I was going to say is like, because you didn't just say, get in your seat. You had to take a moment to think, think about what you should say instead, which also made you not frustrated. Like, mm-hmm. because you took a second, took a deep breath, took even a split second to make a thought of like, okay, how can I turn this positive, you know?
Yeah.
And so then it kind of gives you a second to not just react mm-hmm. in annoyance or frustration or anger, which is hard. I mean, I think it's like harder at different times of the day. And I think it's harder in different situations and all those things. But I think that's really good. I think that's a good idea for sure.
Yeah, and she talked about that too. Just like us, we are the models of behavior for our children. It's like in our primitive brains from the beginning, like we look at our parents to see how to act. So if we're constantly frustrated and constantly just tearing them down or whatever, then they're going to be more negative, I guess, or feeling more negative in our home and in our family. And
more so on edge, or also like the way they speak to their siblings, like, mm-hmm. I noticed this in a positive way, I would say, not about myself, but just like lately Moses has been talking to Sunny like she's this tiny baby and he's this,
grown
major influence in her life. And he'll be like, you know, like the other day she was literally spinning around and being so cute. And he was like, what are you doing, silly Willy? And it was so sweet. But it's because I literally say Uh-huh. You silly willy all the time. So that's just a dumb example, but just like they do hear everything we say. It's like when all of our cousin's baby mm-hmm. is so like cute. 3 months older than Sunny, and she walks up to Sunny and she's like, "Hey, sweet girl." But like that's just because her mom always says, uh-huh. "Hey, sweet girl." And so it just shows that like our language and our words, like sometimes I catch Murphy saying something ugly to Moses that I know he's heard me say, mm-hmm. not in like a bad name or something, but in just like a tone mm-hmm. or like a frustration when Moses does something he doesn't want him to do, mm-hmm. his reaction to that is definitely because he saw me react that way to something that maybe he did that mm-hmm. he shouldn't have been doing. Mm-hmm. And it's not that Moses should be allowed to do that thing, but it's just so we don't have to yell at him when he does yeah. that, or we don't have to
have that tone,
get so frustrated. But again, he's definitely seen that modeled. Mm-hmm. So I think that's so true and important, especially in homes with other siblings, because we've been talking about that a lot, but like you want them to be close and get along and respect each other, and it starts with us respecting them and then they respect each other. It's mm-hmm. like
totally. And another thing that she the same thing was just like pointing out good behavior as much as possible. And she, like the podcast host, was saying like, that's really hard for me to do. Like, I don't know if it's my personality or what, but I, like, that's hard for me. And she's like, I tell parents, like, just take one day, 24 hours, and make it a challenge to yourself to show or to say as many positive or point out as many positive behaviors as you can in your children and see the difference it makes in one day. And she was also talking about, like, how the podcast host said, like, I think about this sometimes. I'm like, no one wants to be around someone who's constantly pointing out what I'm doing wrong and just speaking negatively about everything I'm doing. Like, why would you want, I would never want to be around someone who uh-huh. is just constantly telling me, like, you're doing that wrong, you're doing this wrong, you know, you need to quit doing that, and instead just turning it around and trying to find more positive behaviors to point out. And I just think that's so good, just shining the light on the good behavior and the good stuff your kids are doing, the good things that your kids are doing.
Yeah, that's so true and so good. And again, it's like helping the siblings too. It's like helping, you know, yeah. if like I'm pointing out someone doing a good thing, then that the other one wants to do that good thing.
Totally.
Wants to model that too and get that same recognition, I think.
Yeah, which we talked about with Jane mm-hmm. actually, just about that, mm-hmm. pointing that out and talking about it later if you see someone doing true. Something good. Just talking to your kids about that.
Yeah, that's good.
I think it's so good. And then one more thing on this, and then you can share whatever you want to talk about. But one thing she also said, or I read on this girl's blog, because I really got into it. I was like, wow, these are really good tips. Let me look up her website. And she said, speaking of like a parent, or I guess I'm going back to like how we react and behave, but she said that a lot of times when she's in a heated situation with one of her children or starting to get frustrated, she tells herself to go to the balcony. Sounded a little corny at first to me, if I'm being honest, but then it's been staying in my head. I told Judson about it too, and he's been thinking about it more, but go to the balcony. And she means, in this situation, when you're playing this out with your child, like whatever's going on and they're you're frustrated, she's like, go to the balcony. So pretend you're going up to the balcony of a theater and you're watching a play from above. How do you want to react, or how do you want to be acting as the person in the play? And it's like, that has really stuck with me and has worked so well when I'm getting annoyed or whatever, I'm feeling short, like I'm running out of patience. I'm like, so I go to the balcony and I'm like, okay, how do I want to react right now? Is this that big of a deal? Should I be that frustrated that it's really, that Fletcher's not putting on his pajamas right now? Or should I take a deep breath and calm down? Like, mm-hmm. And so I just think that go to the balcony thing is something that maybe someone needs to hear, and it'll stick in your head the way it stuck in mine. Mm-hmm. And then she also talked about the next scene. So how do I want the next scene to play out after this interaction that I'm having right now? And it's just, I think the more I've just noticed since I've listened to it, and I've probably already said this, but I've just felt a lot calmer, and it's really sticking in my brain mm-hmm. and just coming, it keeps, and maybe it's the Lord that's just bringing it back to me. And it's just been a really helpful thing in my parenting in the last couple of weeks.
That's really good. And it made me think about, you mentioned this to me earlier, like when we interviewed Catherine Strickland or Catherine Ward, that yeah. was one thing she pointed out too, was like, all I can control is myself to a point. And so like, if I can remain calm and positive, and that's one, I'm going to wear off on them, but it's also like, it's okay if they're having a freak out as long as I don't also start freaking out. Mm-hmm. We can't all freak out at the same time. Mm-hmm. Like just, and I think we called that episode Wild Kids Calm Moms, because mm-hmm. it's just like the idea of like, I need to control my own emotions. Like mm-hmm. I've been seeing so many posts lately that are about like helping our kids learn to manage their emotions and learning to recognize what these their feelings are. And it's like, but actually a lot of parents could use that same mm-hmm. stuff. Like mm-hmm. we also need to be able to control our emotions and manage our feelings and recognize when we're feeling a certain way and all those things like that we may think, you know, we're the adult, so we got that down, but we don't mm-hmm. in so many situations. So yeah, that's so good. And also just going off of that a little bit more with the positive parenting thing. I told you about this, but like, and you said this a second ago too, like, is this really that big of a deal? But the idea of like saving, and I saw a reel about it. I didn't make this up, but like saving your no's for when you really need them. And like when like they the make, Play-Doh example. Yeah, like if they make a request and you just want to be like, no, that makes a mess. I don't feel like doing that right now. But like, do you really need to say no there? Or could you say yes? And so like an example would be, you know, can we do Play-Doh today? You know, it's 30 minutes before bedtime. Mm-hmm. Can we do Play-Doh? And it's like, ugh. You know, you don't want to because then it's a mess. You got to clean it up. Da, 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 da. And usually they get it out and want to play for 5 minutes and they're done with it. But mm-hmm. it's enough time to tear up all the Play-Doh and make a huge mess. But it really isn't that big of a deal. Like, right. Yeah, why not? We can do Play-Doh. Because you don't want to be the parent that's always saying no mm-hmm. all the time. And I saw recently another post. Our friend Natalie posted it. It was like how much of the kids' days, especially once they're in school, like they're told what to do all day, mm-hmm. Starting at home, like when to wake up and what to wear and what they're going to have for breakfast and when they're going to leave for school and what all day at school they're told when they can sit up and when they can stand and when they can talk and when, you know, every little thing is just dictated for them. And so when we can say yes and when we can offer them some choice and when we can just like give them a little bit of control, it makes a big difference. And I think that post even had a quote that was like, when they feel in control, they act in control. So they can have, they might be acting out of control and really acting out when they feel like they don't have any choice or they're constantly being told no. And I think if as an adult, all day long, someone told us exactly what we had to do and when we had to do it, we go crazy. Mm-hmm. And so I think just remembering that, like, they probably feel that way too by the end of the day. So, like, yeah. What can we do at home to give them a little bit more independence and choice and control? And again, it's not like we let them have the reins at home because they have, you know, they're in control. Yeah. They don't have any control all day. It's not that, but it's just finding the space to make that happen every now and then with things. Like, it's not like, okay, you don't have to brush your teeth tonight. Like, it's not like right. giving up things that they do need to do that are important, but it's just finding like a balance. I don't know. Yeah. That makes sense.
I love that.
Easier said than done. I mean,
for sure.
Just to keep it in the back of your mind, I feel like, so that, and just try it when it works.
Yeah. And I feel like in summary, what we're saying is just like a lot of times we are overwhelmed as like moms of preschoolers and toddlers, and we can just feel like really like wound up and negative and just feeling like we're always saying no,
right,
not that, this, not this, that, whatever. And it's just like, take a deep breath and realize that like kids are going to be kids. Children act childish, you know. That's what I always remind myself too. I'm like, sometimes there shouldn't be a consequence when my child is just acting like a child,
right?
But anyways, I don't know. Now I'm getting on a different tangent. But.
No, I know. No, but that's all really good. Mm-hmm. So one thing I wanted to just talk about, this kind of on a different tangent, just before we wrap up, because we're going to keep this one short. But I listened to such a good podcast today, bringing up Catherine Ward again and her podcast, To Be Loved. If you haven't listened to it, you should. It's so, so, so encouraging. But today she had on, well, today as in Tuesday, that's when hers comes out. She had this mom, and her name is Lori Warren, and she lost her son in 2017. So It's been a little while, but he was a freshman in college. He got in a terrible car accident. It was just a horrible tragedy. And she has just been this like light to people ever since then. And even before that, has always just been someone that you would look up to and admire and want to be like, because she's just such a solid Christian, such a great mom, and just kind and everything. But when her family went through that, she was able to like speak at the funeral and just do all these amazing things because of the Lord. And like, so on this episode, she tells her whole story, and you should go back and listen to it. I'm not going to tell you the whole story, but she literally talks about like when she was a kid and things that happened to her and things that have happened to her since her son passed, and just she shares a lot. But one thing that really stood out to me as a mom was that she said at the, towards the end of the episode, she's like, she talked about multiple times how during the whole situation, verses would come to her, scripture would come to her, song lyrics would come to her, things that she'd heard in church, things that she'd heard in Bible study, from the time she was a little kid, would pop into her head and just encourage her, lift her spirits or whatever. And so, and she talked about how she shared about her own parents, and she was like, they didn't do everything right. She's like, I won't go into all that, but she was like, I had great parents, but they always had me in church. It's like, that is the one thing that they did do. I went to every vacation Bible school. I did Bible drill. I was always in Sunday school, you know, just all those things. And just how, like, once she went, as an adult, went through this horrible tragedy of losing her son, that, like, it was because of that foundation that her parents had helped her build that she was able to get through it and use that to help other people in different situations. But I just thought, like, as parents, we're not just raising kids to be respectful teenagers or to be, you know, get a degree, yeah, or to even get married one day. Like, we're raising them so that when they're 40 and they have something terrible happen to them, they have the rock to lean on. And like, when we're not even there around anymore, when we're dead, mm-hmm, and they are
going through grief or
whatever, yeah, or something horrible or something great, mm-hmm, that they know, and they know the truth and they know where that comes from. And I was just like, I don't know. I thought I was going to learn something about, like, I don't know what I thought I was going to learn from that episode. I learned a lot. It was so good. But that is just what really stood out to me, is just like, she said, my parents were not perfect, but this is one thing they prioritized, and it changed my life. Mm-hmm. And so I just thought, what an easy thing to do. Because, mm-hmm, you know what I mean? She wasn't saying, my parents taught me all this scripture. My parents, you know, she was like, they just took me to the place. Mm-hmm. And her parents are Christians and did teach her a lot. I'm not saying that, but just like how much that meant. And I just think sometimes our generation, like millennials, I guess, and Gen Z or whatever the one under us is, have a hard time committing to church and like making it a priority, especially because, oh, we just watch online, or mm-hmm, we do this. There's other options, or we go sometimes, but we definitely don't go during the summer, you know, yeah, like whatever. And it's
fine. We don't
like to
go when it's raining, and we don't like to go when it's sunny.
Right. It's like,
if it's too cold or if it's too hot.
But Easter's coming up, and I bet y'all be there. But the point is, like, that is one thing you can do. If you feel like, I am lost and I don't know what I'm doing and I'm struggling and this is terrible and my kids are brats or whatever, mm-hmm, you're feeling, it's like, just get up on Sunday morning and go and see what happens. Because, mm-hmm, one, it's a break for you. That's one thing I see it as sometimes. I'm like, I don't want to go. It's so hard to get everybody out the door. And it's a lot. And I feel like that's a lot of things that parents would say is like, well, that's nap time, or that's the middle of, you know, or they're going to be so grouchy, or they won't like the nursery, or whatever the reason. But I think once you get there, it's just like a rest, honestly, to just sit and be fed, and to know that your kids are in a safe place learning the truth too, is just like, I don't know. I think it's good for your marriage. I think it's good for your kids. I think it's just, mm-hmm, healthy. Definitely. So I just want to plug Freedom Baptist. No, I don't want to plug any particular church. I think whatever church you feel like is your church is great. Mm-hmm. But I just think it goes a long way. And that's what I learned today. Like, she's probably, I don't want to say her age, probably 50. But she is, like, still recognizing how that, all that meant to her. Mm-hmm. And I just think it's important to remember that that's who we're raising, is, like, future 50-year-olds.
For sure.
Future people who are going to deal with hard things. Mm-hmm. And what did we want? How do we want them to respond in those situations?
That's so good.
So, yeah. Tangent.
No,
but go listen to that episode. I'll put it in the show notes, because it was truly really, really, really good. And Catherine did a great job. She got emotional a couple of times, but just encouraging Miss Lori and saying how much her story is, like, going to change people's lives. So you should definitely go listen to it. It's really, really good.
Definitely. That's so good. I love that. And I love church too.
Me too. And just even, like, outside of Sundays, like, we have so many friends from church, mm-hmm. and we're having an event Saturday, and we had our egg hunt last Sunday, mm-hmm. and just, like, little things like that, feeling like there's people that you can count on. Like, when you have a baby, someone that's going to cook you a meal. When someone's sick in your family, someone that's going to check on you. Like, it really does go a long way.
Absolutely.
Because so many people don't have that, and that's one place you can find it, mm-hmm. if you feel like that's lacking.
Definitely. So before we wrap up, do you have anything that you are loving, something you've read recently, something you've watched recently?
Oh, Hannah has.
What, do you want to ask me?
Okay, so let me just say this. Hannah has never been a fiction reader. She prefers nonfiction, which is fine. She likes to read Christian books. She likes to read, you know, books just that Christian. Help you grow in your faith and parenting. And those kind of things, which is great. But I've always been a fiction person. Obviously, I was an English teacher, and so I'm big on reading everything. And she was not that she's not a reader, but that she preferred. Okay. So on our trip, Hannah was like, what should I read? I have Spotify. I'm going to try to listen to a book. What should I read?
Okay. I also want to say that Zan, as an English teacher, I thought I wasn't a reader my whole life. And then Zan told me, you just haven't found what you like to read yet. And then I got into nonfiction Christian literature, and I love it. I could recommend 1,000 books on this podcast. I love it so much, and I love learning. But I was on the airplane, and I listened to a suspense novel, Freda McFadden, and it was called The Teacher, and then I listened to The Housemaid. And I loved both of them. They kept me on the edge of my seat. They kept me on my AirPods in my ears for
24/7.
Yes, because I just wanted to finish it so bad. It's so crazy. It's really good, but also, I don't know, if you haven't read it, you should look into it. And if you have Spotify Premium, a new little hack, I don't know if everyone knows, but if you're the plan manager, you get 15 hours free a month of audiobooks, and they have so many options.
Like,
and
it's new books.
So, yes, it's so good.
And Hannah is my account manager, so I don't get any.
But anyways, I love those books. I'm now really getting into suspense fiction.
What are you going to read next?
Oh, I started another one of her books.
Hers are good. They're
Never
easy.
Never Lie.
They're, like, not hard to understand. They're just kind of easy to read.
Yeah.
And yeah, they're good. I'm sure everyone, if you haven't, The Housemaid is, like, so popular right now and so big because everyone loved it. And it's a really good book. But there's so many. But I just love that Hannah's finally a fiction girly. So yeah, that's good, Hannah, what you're loving. I don't feel like one thing I wanted to say is that I, on the last time we recorded, was so stressed about daylight savings. Is that what it is? Is it daylight? Okay. And it has actually been okay. It's gone well for our family. It really hasn't been that bad. And
as does most things that people worry about. It all ends up working out fine.
True. One thing that has, it's not hard, but one thing that causes an issue is, like, oh my gosh, it's already 7:15 and we're still at the playground or whatever. It's like I'm still not really registering when it's time to go inside. So that's thrown off our bedtime routine a little bit, but other than that, it's been totally fun, and it's been really nice, actually, spending more time outside. And once Ethan's done working, still having daylight to enjoy and play and all that. So one thing I'm trying to figure out next is spring break. My next worry is how I'm going to survive.
And you will survive.
12 days with no school. No, my, and I, you can help me with this, but I'm trying to come up with like a little schedule for us of something to do every day that doesn't cost money. Cause that's one thing, like Murphy, like, we can go to Flip and Fly, we can get a monkey, or monkey, we can go Jungle Rapids,
Monkey Joe's, maybe.
Bounce, but every single thing is expensive, and three kids, it's just, it adds up, and so we're trying to come up with, I told Ethan, maybe I would plan, like, a little, like, park tour, and, like, we would go to a different park every day.
Yeah, that'd be like, fun.
Something fun, that's free, and it's supposed to be nice that week and everything, but spring break will get you, if you're used to your kids being in school. So, anyways, anything else?
Yeah, I have one.
Go ahead.
My mushroom coffee. Have I told you about it?
Yes.
Hey, I'm doing this new thing, mushroom coffee, Rise, if y'all want to look it up. I'm not going to go into detail because I know we need to wrap it up. R-Y-Z-E, and it has replaced caffeine in my life. I just drink one cup in the morning, and I haven't felt tired. I haven't felt any caffeine crashes. And I just realized in the afternoon, I'm like, wait a minute, I haven't had any caffeine all day and I feel totally fine. It is crazy. And there's so many health benefits to it. I wasn't even trying to cut out caffeine. It just like happened because I had heard about this mushroom coffee a lot. And so I was like, you know what? I'm just going to try it. It's one bag, 30-day supply. And now I'm hooked and I'm trying to talk Judson into it. And I'm also telling everyone I know for some reason because I'm just easily influenced and then also like to influence.
I wish I could get on something else. I am hooked hard on the coffee right now.
It's crazy. Yeah. But anyways, look up Rise Mushroom Coffee if anyone's interested. All the benefits are amazing.
All right.
I think that's it for me.
Me too.
All right.
Well, happy Easter. Happy Holy Week. My favorite thing that's been going on right now is that Moses has been shouting Hosanna because they had talked about that at school. And so now he randomly is like, Hosanna, Hosanna.
That's so sweet.
But anyways, and I didn't teach him that. He learned it at school, at church. It's just crazy. What a gift that he has those other people influencing him. But anyway, so happy Holy Week, and we hope you enjoy your Easter. If you don't have a church to go to, we would love to have you at ours anytime, but it's at 10:30 Freedom Baptist on College Road. So we are not getting paid to say that. All right, well, we will talk to you next week.